Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
It's 8:05 in Germany. A good morning to you all and a warm welcome to Deutsche Welle's Africa Link program. I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn, where it's raining and dark. Coming up, Uganda says a top commander of the LRA rebel group is in custody.
It was a surrender, then that was a good move on his part as an individual. And I believe that now that he's out, it will go a long way in making sure that we move towards ending the LRA rebellion.
The new head of the UN Ebola mission wants Liberia not to get caught up with the falling number of Ebola cases.
It's only on this moment of optimism and some relative success that sometimes we are worried that there is any degree of complacency. And that's why we very much saying we have to be all alert.
Also on the program, another segment of Crossroads Generations. So stay tuned.
Top story.
Uganda's military has confirmed that a senior commander in the Rebel Lords Resistance Army LRA movement has been taken into custody by US forces. The International Criminal Court ICC wants to put Ongwen Dominic on trial for crimes and crimes against humanity. But the Ugandan government has said it would prefer to try him at home. Both Uganda and the US said Ongwen's capture was a big blow to the rebel movement, known for its use of extreme violence. Alex Gitter has this report on how Ugandans have been reacting.
Dominic Ongwen is the alleged mastermind behind many atrocities in Uganda, Democratic Republic of Congo, South Sudan, and Central African Republic. He was abducted as a child by the rebel outfit that has been fighting the Yoweri Museveni regime for the last 27 years, the Lord's Resistance Army. Human Rights Watchdog, Human Rights Watch, says he should be sent straight to the International Criminal Court in The Hague to face justice. But the Ugandan government attorney general, Peter Nyombi, says they have capacity to try such grave criminal acts. Uganda's defense minister, Dr. Crispus Chionga, told DW Radio that a decision will be taken soon by the country's top leadership.
We will decide. We are still doing consultation. If we try him here, or they try him in ICC, depending on what the decision will be. It will now become a legal matter.
It won't be an easy decision to make. Onyango Kakoba, chairman of the Justice and Human Rights Committee at the Pan-African Parliament, says the issue should be approached with extreme caution.
It was a surrender, then that was a good move on his part as an individual. So, and I believe that now that he's out, it will go a long way in making sure that we move towards ending the LRA rebellion. It is a catch-22 situation. He's one of the people who is wanted. And definitely, if he's indicted, then the ICC has to take precedent. But of course, so in Uganda, we used to have a mechanism through which people who surrender would be pardoned. Everything has to be worked out to make sure that actually justice is achieved.
Human Rights Watch contends that since the Ugandan government referred all issues concerning the LRA war to the ICC, Ongwen should not be an exception. Some leaders in northern Uganda feel Ongwen's surrender definitely makes the LRA weaker. Loila Otekayot is the vice chairperson of the Acholi parliamentary group.
It indicates good progress as far as the fight against Kony and his rebels is concerned, because Ongwen was one of the top commanders. It is a clear indication that Kony is being weakened day and night.
Defense Minister Dr. Crispus Chionga says whatever decision is taken concerning where Ongwen should be tried, the Ugandan People's Defense Force, UPDF, will continue hunting for the rebel remnants.
Efforts of UPDF continue to wear down the LRA, and a top commander like this to come on his own shows you the pain they are feeling now.
Uganda's Defense Minister, Dr. Crispus Chionga, ending that report by Alex Gitter in Kampala. And as you've just heard, Dominic Ongwen was abducted as a child by the Lord's Resistance Army and later became a top commander of the rebel group. Analysts say the fact that he was a child soldier could complicate his trial should Uganda hand him over to the International Criminal Court, where he's wanted for crimes against humanity. The charges include murder and enslavement. To find out more about Ongwen, Susan Holton has been speaking to Christoph Titeker, a researcher on the LRA at the Institute of Development Policy and Management at the University of Antwerp in Belgium.
Dominic Ongwen, he was a high-ranking commander within the LRA. He was military very important. He was considered a very good fighter, and that's why he rose relatively quickly through the ranks of the LRA from 2000-2001 onwards. However, he has also been contesting the leadership from the second half of the 2000s onwards. For example, when the vice commander of the LRA was killed, Vincent Otte, he was the only one openly contesting it. Gradually, throughout the years, throughout the last 10 years, let's say, he's been marginalizing himself more.
So would his departure, his surrender, would that be a blow to the LRA?
It is an important commander, so it is an important event. However, militarily or structurally, it's not a very big blow to the LRA. The LRA has been operating in very fragmented groups, and it seems that Ongwen himself was marginalized and also operating semi-independently of the LRA. So it's symbolically important, but militarily, I'm not really sure.
What do you think caused him to surrender? Could he be hoping for some kind of deal, do you think?
Dominic Ongwen was abducted as a child at the age of 10. He has been close to the LRA and the LRA leadership, but he has on several occasions been hesitating whether to escape or not. There are several testimonies indicating that he wanted to surrender. The LRA is at its weakest point in its history. The LRA has become incredibly fragmented, with small groups operating in almost autonomous manner, being very distant from the leader, Joseph Kony. Many of these groups haven't been in touch with the leadership for quite a while and operate in very difficult circumstances. So that could also explain its surrender.
Now, you mentioned his own abduction as a child. In some eyes, at least, that would also make him appear a victim. Do you think that is something that would be taken into account in whatever legal process now takes place?
Well, as other analysts have also pointed out, his case shows the complexity of the whole conflict. He was a victim and then became a perpetrator himself. He had to do these acts in order to survive. Also, the ICC, the International Criminal Court, has a provision which considers children who have been abducted and who commit these acts as victims. However, from the age of 18, legally this is no longer the case. Also, the higher he rose in the ranks of the LRA, the more he became responsible for his own deeds as well. So it will be taken into account, but he's been an adult for quite some time, and he's committed horrific atrocities as an adult.
Expert on the LRA rebel group, Christoph Titeker.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
Now, we've been reporting that oil giant Royal Dutch Shell agreed to a £55 million settlement with residents of the Bodo community in the Niger Delta, devastated by two massive oil spills in 2008 and 2009, respectively. These were among the biggest spills in decades of oil exploration in Nigeria. Thousands of hectares of mangrove were affected in the southern Ogoniland region. The out-of-court settlement came after a three-year legal battle. Eunice Wanjiru with this report on how the Ogonis have been reacting to the deal.
The two serious oil spills that occurred in Bodo in 2008 destroyed thousands of acres of mangroves and the fish and the shellfish which the villagers depended on for their livelihood. The deal that was reached this week comes after a three-year legal battle fought in the UK between Bodo residents and the Shell Petroleum Development Company of Nigeria. Shell will pay a total of £35 million compensation to 15,600 Nigerian fishermen and farmers whose livelihood were affected and £20 million to their Bodo community. A resident of Bodo, Dick Sarunowiko, told DW what he thinks about the out-of-court settlement.
It is a good thing that Shell for now has accepted, at least for once. The world will get to know that the agitation of the Ogoni people over the years has not been for fun. Maybe it's not born out of hatred for Shell as a company, but for the damage they've caused the people. The question now would be, now if they've accepted that of a Bodo community, what about other spills that have occurred in the area?
Bemene Tanene lives in a neighboring community. He also sees the deal as a welcome development.
when multinationals own up to some responsibilities, it's good for the people. The way the people are going about it to ensure that the real victims, those who suffer the impact of that oil disaster, of that oil spill, are really protected and compensated, is a welcome development. So we want to commend Shell, at least for the first time.
According to London-based lawyers Leigh Day and Company, individuals will receive £2,200, which is equivalent to around 3 years' income on the Nigerian minimum wage. Shell admitted that the spills were caused by pipeline failures, but insisted that most oil pollution in the Niger Delta was caused by sabotage, illegal refining, and attempts at theft. Amnesty International and the rights group Center for Environment, Human Rights and Development have been campaigning for cleanup operations and compensation on behalf of Bodo residents for the last 6 years. Chief Sylvester Kogbara, chairman of the Bodo Council of Chiefs and Elders, said that he hoped Shell will take their host communities seriously now and embark on a cleanup of all of Ogoniland. A United Nations Environment Programme report suggested that it could take up to 30 years to fully rehabilitate Ogoniland.
That report was presented by Eunice Wanjiru. You are listening to Africa Link straight from the studios of Deutsche Welle here in Bonn, Germany. The new head of UNMEER, the UN Mission on Ebola, Ismail Old Sheikh Ahmed, on Wednesday told Liberian President Ellen Johnson Sirleaf that his mission supports Liberia's back-to-school efforts. Ahmed replaced Anthony Banbury as chief of UNMEER. My colleague Crispin Makideu spoke to Julius Kanuba on how the new UNMEER chief plans to stop Ebola.
Basically, the new chief of UNMEER stated that he has come to first observe the situation in Liberia, and his plan is to continue to mobilize the international and local resources to fight this Ebola virus. And so after his 2 days visit to Liberia, he gave his impression about his trip.
My first impression, I would say, is in a way a mixed impression. I think that undoubtedly Liberia has done a great progress and has to be recognized. That owes a lot to the Liberians themselves. Unfortunately, the reason I said it's mixed because I think we are at a stage where we are not yet there. There is certainly a lot to be done still in order for Liberia to be declared Ebola-free.
Julius, Ahmed also warned that special attention needs to be given to the border areas. Now, with Ebola wrecking Liberia for months now, one would imagine that this is already the case, isn't it?
The border regions of Liberia are very porous, and so the warning is highly important, because over the past few weeks we have had cases being reported along the borderlands of Liberia and Guinea and Liberia and Sierra Leone. The new UNMEER head gave this caution to Liberians to be on the alert.
You know, it's only on this moment of optimism and some relative success that sometimes we are worried that there is any degree of complacency or people start being self-satisfied. And that's why we are saying we have to be all alert. My visit to the treatment center confirmed that we still have, in certain places, figures which for us are too high, because in any way for us even one single case is too many.
Ahmed's predecessor, Anthony Banbury, had predicted zero Ebola cases by the end of this year. How realistic is that goal?
On the practical ground, I think it is very difficult to be achieved because Ebola cases are still being reported in Liberia. And so the Assistant Director General of the World Health Organization, Bruce Howard, who was also on this mission, made some striking point about the lifestyle in Liberia in the context of the Ebola situation.
It's sort of like being pregnant. There's no such thing as being a little bit pregnant. You're pregnant or you're not. Your country is infected with Ebola or it's not. And the country is infected with Ebola, which means there needs to be a continued ferocious effort to drive this out of the country.
Assistant Director General of the World Health Organization, Bruce Aylward, speaking to reporters in Monrovia. I'll be back for a recap of the stories we've covered, but first let's listen to another segment of Learning by Ear, Crossroads Generation.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Good day to you and welcome back to Crossroads Generation.
We're standing at the crossroads, we're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future starts today.
We're in the middle of our third season called Facing the Future, and things have been tough for our young heroes lately. 18-year-old Mercy and her boyfriend Nikki haven't been doing so well as a couple. The reasons are Mercy's 3-year-old daughter Linda and Nikki's mother.
Worried about you, Nikki, and I don't think she's good for you. She has a child with another man, and
I know that, and I'm trying to come to terms with it, but you reminding me about it all the time doesn't make it any easier.
The father of Mercy's child is Dan, who recently tried to make contact with Mercy and her daughter for the first time since Linda was born, but Mercy sent him away, and things don't look too good for Dan right now. Meanwhile, Mercy's parents have other things on their minds. Her father, Msoto, was involved in a dirty deal some years ago when he sold his own newborn baby to the politician Mukaraba. Msoto's wife, Lulu, has been fighting to get her daughter back, and last time, she got a call from Inspector Mary.
Lulu, I'm also calling to tell you that the case against Mukaraba will be going to court next week.
Oh, thank God! Finally!
But he still doesn't know that your husband is going to testify. He mustn't find out about that until it's time. You understand?
Let's quickly sneak into the courtroom to start this 12th episode entitled Unidentified Objects.
Court is in session. Judge Ray presiding.
We are here in the matter of the alleged illegal adoption of the child named Joy, now 4 years old. The accused is Moses Mukaraba. He is here with his lawyer. The prosecutor will be assisted by Inspector Mary, who has been following the case from the beginning. Prosecutor, please start with the opening submissions.
Thank you, Your Honor. The case was brought to Inspector Mary's attention when Lulu Msoto started coming regularly to the police station, asking for help with finding her baby. On further inquiry, we found that the girl's father had sold the baby to the accused without the mother's permission and in breach of our country's adoption law. This is clearly a case of illegal adoption. I ask this court to dispense justice, and I am ready to present the results of our inquiry into the case. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Prosecutor. May I ask the accused's lawyer to present her opening declaration?
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Mukaraba is a person of high standing in society, and as such, many seek to discredit him for political reasons. The defense will prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is nothing other than a made-up case intended to slander my client and damage his chances in the forthcoming election. Thank you, Your Honor.
Silence in court. Prosecutor, please call your first witness.
Mrs. Seda, please step forward.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Wilmina Seda, my son.
Silence in court. You will be silent in my courtroom, or I'll have you all thrown out. Mrs. Seda, you will address the court properly.
Yes, the court.
It's yes, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. What do you do for a living, Mrs. Seda?
I am a midwife, and I was there when the little baby girl was born.
Why would someone import skeletons? Sometimes I just don't believe these newspaper articles. Oh my, so hungry. But I can't eat now. I need to lose weight. And I'm so tired again. Hello, Jumbe speaking.
Hello, Dad.
Hey there, Nikki, my son. How are you? It's been a while since you called or came to visit. I know you're not on such good terms with your mother, but you can't stay away forever, you know.
Well, I'm calling you right now, aren't I?
That's true. So, how are you?
I'm fine, Dad.
Are you sure, son? You don't need anything? Money?
No, thanks, I'm fine. You know I'm working part-time at the gym. So, how are you, Dad? You sound a bit strange.
I'm fine. Don't worry. Just a slight headache. Listen,
Dad, are you okay? Hello? Hello, Dad? What's happening? Are you okay? Hello? Hello?
No job, no money, stupid supervisor. Who fired someone for being 5 minutes late?
Hey, Dan.
Oh, Billy, what are you doing here?
Hey, duck, Wani boy, duck.
What? What the hell is that? And what's that smell?
Man, you've just been missiled.
Oh, shit, what is that?
What you just said, shit.
What?
Ever heard of flying toilets?
Huh?
Someone just threw shit on you.
Ah.
You were lucky it was in a plastic bag. Although it looks like the bag wasn't closed properly.
No. Get it off.
Hey, don't come too close. You stink. Here, use this stick to scrape it off.
I will kill that miserable son of a... Where did it come from?
Don't bother. You'll never find them in this crowded slum. That's why I call them UFOs.
What the hell is that?
Unidentified flying objects.
Ew. Ah, disgusting. I have to get rid of this shirt. What are you doing here anyway, Billy? Why aren't you at the building site?
They fired me too.
What? Why?
It was me who left those bags of cement on the balcony.
Why did you do that?
Thought it would be easier to carry them the next day. Didn't think it was going to rain.
Oh, Billy, that's so stupid.
But it was just one mistake. I've never made any others. I even offered to pay for it out of my salary, but the boss refused to listen.
So, now what?
I don't know, Dan. I guess we both have to find a new job. Preferably without a boss to boss us around.
Yeah. Hey, seriously, you know what?
Eh?
We should be our own bosses.
Ah, good idea.
Kadu, Banda, can't even clean up after yourselves. You leave your dirty cups and plates lying around everywhere.
That's a girl's job.
Yeah.
Our sister must used to do it.
Your sister is now away at university, and I think it's high time you learned that boys and men can also help at home.
Come on, Mom, don't switch off the TV.
Instead of helping me with the housework, you wake up and the first thing you think of is the TV. If you don't behave better, I'm going to sell it.
No, Mom, please don't.
We'll clean up after ourselves every day from now on.
Good. Now wash those plates while I see who's at the door.
Hi,
see
Lulu.
What you've done, girl.
Sorto, what do you want now?
I thought I'd stop by on my way into town. I'm going to pray and I'd like to take my boys with me.
I don't want to.
Yeah, I'm coming. Can I go, Mom? Please?
Neither of you will go. You just promised to help me here.
Shut up, Kadu. But I want to. I'm part of the community. That's what Dad said. Right, Dad?
Yeah.
You two wash those plates like I told you. And Msoto, I'd like to have a word with you.
And now here's a quick summary of what we've covered in this edition of Africa Link. Uganda has confirmed the capture of Dominic Ongwen, a top commander of the LRA rebels. Residents of Ogoniland in Nigeria's Niger Delta have welcomed the compensation from Shell. And the new chief of ANMEA has called on Liberia to stay alert until the goal of zero Ebola cases is achieved. That's it for me for today. I'm Isaac Mugabe in Bonn. Have a wonderful day ahead.